Luck back to throw with all kinds of time. Fires. It's picked off this time. Going back the other way. Puzzleski's looking for blockers. There they finally get the rookie. Whedon under center. Takes the snap. Play action. Back to throw. Under a bit of pressure. Turns and throws this one. And it's intercepted. Cyprian's got his first. He's going back the other way at the 30. Gets a block at the 20. And is still looking for room near the 15. And he's met and driven out of bounds there. Jonathan Cyprian with a game-changing play. And there's the shotgun snap. Pressure coming up the middle. Here's a throw, and it is intercepted! Dwayne Grotz just took it away! He stepped underneath the receiver, Greg Little, and it's back-to-back picks!
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Mark Long.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Mike Dempsey along with the Associated Press beat writer for the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Florida Gators for that matter, Mark Long, and the official Lord research staff and deep knowledge haver. I don't know anything about it. Although I do somehow, now that you said that, recall something vague about the George Brett angle.
Well, about that.
Yeah, well, you know, leave it to me. I think last time I was on the show, I dropped some knowledge about what movie was it? Twilight series.
Oh yeah, that's right.
And so now I got Lord. So my resume is just growing by the appearance.
Teeny bopper, man. Well, they were asking one of our new young female interns if she's still a Belieber. What about you? Are you still on the Bieber bandwagon as well, or have you moved on?
You know what?
Has he finally turned you off?
I have much love and much respect for the Biebs. Just mad respect based on his dating schedule.
Question.
Okay.
I mean, but of course, if you were a YouTube sensation with millions of dollars, I had a feeling you'd be doing quite well in that department yourself.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? The state of Mark Long, ladies and gentlemen.
You'd like to think you would, but, you know, I've never done well in my life, so, you know.
We've called a two-hour on-air press conference today to update you on the state of Mark Long's dating life. The state of the Jags yesterday, we're going to touch on that quite a bit today, and we'll invite folks to weigh in at 641-1010 about how they feel about the direction of the franchise. Just your overview from what you heard yesterday from Shad Khan and Mark Lamping.
Fairly somber presentation by Mark Lamping in terms of, you know, just the state of the franchise. And, you know, it's real, you know, eye-opening numbers in terms of, you know, you think it's better. It's got all this energy under Shad Khan and Dave Caldwell and Gus Bradley. But the reality is not a lot changed in terms of filling the stadium and that kind of thing. The big impact was London, and to me, what I took more than anything was that they're not leaving London. If they have the option to extend that thing beyond 4 years, I think they're going to do it. Unless things change drastically here in Jacksonville, I see them being tied to London for the foreseeable future, just because it's a bit of a cash cow for them.
Tony and I left the press conference, and we were walking out to the parking lot, and I told him the same thing. I said, you know, they can be London's team one game a year, and they could, I mean, if they have the impact that they had, and everything was kind of vague, you know, we'll see. I know Gene Furnett wrote a column today questioning, can you, you know, is it going to hurt the bottom line in terms of wins and losses? Are you giving up a true home field advantage? Well, you might be able to build more of a home field advantage, and you're going to acclimate the core of your players to being over there every year, and you're going to get used to making that trip, and whereas a team's going to make that once every, you know, decade isn't going to, you know, it's going to be a little bit more of a shock to the system.
Yeah, Jaguars jumped from 31st in popularity in the United Kingdom to, ninth in 1 year. So now all of a sudden, let's just, you know, if you play that out over the next 3 years, they're playing there every year. They're the only team that's going to play there every year for over this four-year span. I would think that, you know, that would jump to certainly top five, maybe number one. And so with that said, you got to expect the revenue would just keep increasing, and then why would you bow out of that thing if you can stay? And the reality is the NFL's not exactly, teams aren't beating down the NFL door to get over there. I mean, the Rams got out of it.
Right.
So, you know, from that regard, I would think the Jags would try to extend.
It was interesting. I looked at that bar chart, and I didn't ask who that was. There was, you know, it was the most teams by popularity, and the Jags were in the ninth spot, and then it would go up gradually, and then whoever was number one shot through the roof. Did you notice that on the bar chart? I don't know if it was Dallas or
San Francisco, right? San Francisco's played over there a few times, I would think.
Yeah, I'm guessing probably like the Cowboys, which is makes an odd circumstance, obviously, this year with the Jags playing the Cowboys.
Well, and I said this, the NFL needs to do the Jags a little bit of a favor here in terms of giving them a better schedule. I mean, they've really, you give them San Francisco and then you're giving them Dallas. I mean, that's not exactly two, you know, winnable games. And they say it's, you know, well, you want to sell the – those games are selling out no matter who you put over there. And they're talking about TV revenue. Well, TV ratings, I mean – and TV ratings shouldn't matter if it's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Those things are regionally – are regional anyway. I would see it would be different if it was a standalone game on maybe a Saturday or something where you're trying to boost ratings over here in the United States. But with it being a Sunday game at 1 o'clock – locally, I don't see any scenario in which they couldn't do the Jags a bit of a better favor by giving them a team, you know.
Give them not even the winning aspect of it. Give them a less popular team and let Dallas come here and let them get, you know, that overflow sellout standing room only type atmosphere.
Absolutely.
In Jacksonville.
Sure.
So, you know, and I don't know if this is going too far to say, and this is based just on 1 year, but I think it's conceivable that we look back as – a lot of people, when this was first brought up, felt like, boy, this is a big threat to, and I'm sure there are still some that feel that way, that London is trying to poach this franchise, and it's a big threat to this team, more so than L.A. ever was, because you're actually going to play a game there. But the irony is, it may be the thing that saves football in Jacksonville. To say that, put it in those terms, may be a little stark, but you get what I'm saying, that increase in local revenue, and that's where the 15% number is coming from. It fell here in the States, but you had one fewer home game, so you're going to expect some kind of a dip, but you more than made up for it. You doubled the fall off, and that's, you know, accounting for your profits in local revenue, and if that continues to climb and they continue to capitalize on that popularity as being the ninth most popular team, you're only going to see that number grow.
Yeah, Mark Lamping hit on local revenue, and he really hammered it, is that local revenues, that's absolutely got to be, that's what's going to save the franchise, or that's what's going to sustain the franchise, is local revenue. And being in London helps, you know. And so I just don't see any scenario in which they move away from that thing voluntarily.
Yeah, the financial aspect of it seems to clearly be working from that standpoint, and we'll see where it goes from there. But the rest of it, Shad Khan just talking about the organization and the positive feeling around it, I think all that's very true. I think you see it, I see it, well, we all see that and feel that. And it's funny because they've gone from 2 wins to 4 wins, right, and that's where they are right now. But, you know, you can't help but be around or hear Gus Bradley and Dave Caldwell talk about this team, and they're inspiring a lot of confidence right now. It doesn't matter in the end what kind of grade they get from the draft, but it doesn't hurt either when you get A's across the board from a national perception, and people are starting to say, wait a minute, maybe they're building something the right way in Jacksonville, and I think that feeds into that whole feeling about the franchises on the rise as a whole.
Perception is reality, and the perception around here for a long time has been they can't sell out games, they're blacking out games, you know, they're being, you know, firing coaches after one season, all that stuff. And some of it is true, some of it's not true. Obviously, the blackout part is not absolutely far from the truth, but perception is reality, and when people start perceiving that this team is on the rise and this team is heading in the right direction and this team has everything in place to succeed, and that they're drafting the right guys and they're building it the right way, you know, that's what people are going to be talking about, and all of a sudden that replaces talk about blackouts and season tickets and all that stuff, and then people start buying in, and people buy in locally, nationally, internationally. And all of a sudden, you get a little momentum. And if you got the right players in place, which it seems like they do right now, you know, then there's no excuses at that point.
Right. It's all got to come together. I heard the boys yesterday on XL Primetime kind of discussing the televised aspect of these games and whether or not they meet the threshold. They made the commitment that all the games are going to be on TV. And I know Hacker brought up, he said some of his friends, he thinks it has a negative effect. Some of his friends say, hey, if I know I can watch it, I'm not going to go. And I'm sure there's some of that, but I don't think Shad Khan and Mark Lamping haven't put a lot of thought and study into this. They truly feel that it's much more beneficial to the franchise to expose the product, to not let it go out of sight, out of mind, because clearly, Mark, you were here the years when there were many blackouts, apathy set in to a large degree, and there are people that, were never going to go to games. And if they couldn't watch them, well, they're a lot likely, less likely to buy merchandise. You know, just all the different aspects, the ways you can support the team. And the organization clearly feels that exposing it is the way to go.
Yeah, no doubt. I couldn't help but watch Mark Lamping's presentation. Unbelievable presentation, by the way.
PowerPoint. He's really good with the clicker.
He is.
Right?
Well,
he's,
you know, and you go back, Gus Bradley's a big PowerPoint guy, and he gives PowerPoint presentations to players who come in for visits and his players all the time. So PowerPoint has become a big thing in this building. But Mark Lamping's PowerPoint presentation was amazing, very, very on point, very accurate, very obviously, you know, enthralling a little bit. But I couldn't help but think of the Players' Championship, and you've been out there a number of times for golf, but it's on, by the way, that golf event is on television, right?
Sure.
So you don't, you know, it's always televised. You could stay home and watch it, but people come out because it's an event. People come out for socialization. They come out for that kind of party atmosphere. And I couldn't help but look at what Mark Lamping had, some of the proposals in terms of the stadium, and I thought, well, this is really the Players' Championship, you know, times 10. You know, you're building these cabanas, you're building these areas for people to socialize, and the game, although the centerpiece of it is what's going on the field, they're basically highlighting the secondary and tertiary parts of the game, which is, you know, food, beverage, and socialization. You get you?
No,
you?
I absolutely
okay.
got you.
And that's what I kept looking at it going, that's what they're doing here, is making this a, you know, a super players event for 8 games instead of 4 days.
Right. Every year you go to the Players, there are more hospitality suites, there are more amenities, there's something that, you know, they build the turn and this and that and all these other areas. And, you know, for the average person, maybe they don't even take advantage of it, but it helps. The club seats, the artist renderings. And by the way, if they throw an artist rendering up there, you better be ready for it in about 12 months. Because
it's not far from being it's going to go, we're going from concept to construction.
No doubt about it. And you might say, well, that's not going to impact me, but it does, because if they can sell those and make those more attractive to people who are going to buy club seats, they don't have to raise your ticket price.
Right.
And that's one thing they talked a lot about yesterday, too, trying to keep it economical for the average fan who's never even going to use a lot of these amenities, but it's going to benefit everybody if we're able to sell them out. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. We've got the Associated Press's Mark Long here with us. We haven't talked with Mark since the draft, at least I haven't, so we'll get his thoughts on how the draft went. Obviously, you cover the Gators as well. Want to get into all those eight guys who came out early, or eight guys who were draft eligible, and not right. all of them came out early and didn't get drafted, including Roberson and Purifoy, who at one point, probably this point last year, were being talked about as future first-round draft picks. So we'll get into that angle of it as well. Today's Tom Bush Family of Dealership fan feedback question asks you simply, 1 year in, are you happy with the Jaguars' London experiment? And however you feel about it, share your thoughts on Facebook.com/Jaguars today. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. We'll select one respondent to be awarded a Jaguars Today t-shirt at the end of the broadcast today. Again, a Metro Rooter Wednesday for all your plumbing concerns. Make it Metro Rooter at 695-1911. You want to get in with Jaguars Today? Let's talk about the state of the franchise. Are you happy with where things are headed? What's your biggest concern right now as a Jacksonville Jaguar fan with this franchise, whether it's on the field, off the field, amenities, London, you name it? 641-1010, the way to do that. Mike Dempsey and the Associated Press's Mark Long. Jaguars Today, live from Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Everything you need to know about your Jacksonville Jaguars. This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Live at Everbank Field, Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you. It is Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM, Wednesdays, presented by Metro Rooter. Coming up, the Jags on the practice field for about another 30 minutes this morning. Individual instruction. We talked with Gus about that yesterday. I wasn't sure what the hell they're doing out there, to be honest with you, right now. And he's like, you know, we can't do any team stuff, can't even do any like one-on-ones, like receiver versus DB, things like that out there. So it's just all kind of group exercising, I guess.
Friday.
To some degree.
Friday, they'll get it. They'll
mini-camp.
Get it going. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Rookie mini camp.
Right.
And they're gonna bring in a bunch of tryout guys on top of the, is it 17?
17 undrafted.
Yep. So 9 rookies, 17 undrafted guys. probably sign another 15 tryout guys.
Plus, as John Osher said yesterday, some guys who still have practice squad eligibility will be able to be out there.
It's only about, I talked to Gus yesterday about it briefly, I think it's three or four guys, Matt Scott being one of them, but they're not even sure they're going to bring Matt Scott out.
Well, you're talking 45-ish guys.
Trying to get too deep.
There you go.
That was the goal, to get too deep at every position. And then you can go out there and actually have a regular practice, have regular reps, have team drills, and go at it like that in helmets, no pads, in helmets and shorts.
By the way, 1:10, I believe, is the official start time on Friday and Saturday. And Saturday they're going to have, I don't know what the list looks like, but they're going to have some alumni signing autographs ahead of time and all kinds of stuff.
Making an event.
They're trying to make everything an event. That's the way they do it. 6-4-1-10-10. Some fair questions or / criticisms here from Wade Kutnick, W. Kutnick on Twitter, at W. Kutnick. He said 9 home games. London was 11% of the season. Well, there are 10 home games if you include the preseason. So London would be 10% of that. Although you can, I think, fairly argue that you're not making as much on those preseason games as you are in the regular season games. So what should London represent? Should it represent 11 or 12% of the local revenue anyway? Well, it regardless, they outpaced it.
And no question. Doubled it.
When you look at the percentage that fell off from last year's local revenue, I want to say it was roughly like 8% fell off in the States, which you would expect to fall off with one less game, but to make it up with 15% on top of that. They grew. It's not just London, but that's a big part of the whole thing.
And up 8%. That's the big number.
Right. Overall, up 8%. And I think, too, I don't know. I can't remember what the percentage was on where they're pacing in terms of renewals for season tickets, but new season tickets up 46% from this time last year as far as what they're selling. So, you know, it's not Manziel Mania where they sold 2,000 right. overnight to, you know, get the jersey of the backup quarterback and all that stuff, apparently. Of course, we got our own backup drafted in the top three.
Those two might play each other.
They absolutely might. Sunday
October?
Night Flex. And do you have a prediction for Blake Bortles cracking the lineup? Like, will it be this year? And if it is this year, will it come after the bye, pre-bye? This is barring injury to Chad Henne.
Well, barring injury to Chad Henne, I think they probably sit him until December. I would think, you know, I think at some point you go, okay, he's ready. We're not a contender. You know, what's the harm in getting him four games under his belt?
Or more.
Six games under his belt, right. So let's go ahead and make the move. So, you know, I think you got to look at the bye week. You know, you look at before the bye week and make Blake Bortles your starting quarterback in London. That's possible.
Oh, that's an awful decision if they do that.
Why?
Because you got to debut him in Jacksonville, Florida, goodness sakes.
Good point.
If they do that, I would be...
Okay, then post-bye.
I would, yeah,
post-bye.
There you go. Much
Which
better.
Bye is what, week 10?
Something like that. They play Indy, I think, on the road coming out of the bye, and then they have the Giants at home. I'm predicting the Giants game at home.
His home debut?
Who knows? It could come a lot sooner. It could come in 2015, but I've got to believe, you know, unless, and I threw the hypothetical out, and was it O'Halloran, Tony, or one of them accused me of drinking the Kool-Aid. I just said hypothetically, you know, if you feel Blake's ready and Henny's 6-2, you can't sit a guy who's winning football games, can you? I mean, I know it's for the long term.
Sorry, you just said Henny's 6-2.
I know it's a hypothetical. For goodness sakes, Mike.
No, they're going to be significantly better on both sides of the ball this year. There's no question about it. They can't be any worse defensively. Offensively. And I think, you know, I think the guys coming in, we're talking about their point differential. Was it 200 points between points allowed and points scoring? So they're going to be better on both sides of the ball. So you know. 6-2 would be ridiculous.
Obviously.
Especially with that schedule. But
funny things happen in the NFL.
Absolutely. We've seen teams here locally outperform what we thought, and we've seen teams way underperform what we thought. So
I thought Chad was hilarious yesterday, and he said it with a smile. He wasn't saying it in a cocky way whatsoever. When they talked to him about his job, he goes, "My job is to keep my job." That's my job, and to, you know, become the best guy I can be. And they really stress that, and to the point where it seems like, you know, all right, enough already, where it's like, I'm not competing with Blake. I'm competing with myself to be the best Chad Henne I can be. But I'm telling you, then you sit down with Gus and your eyes glaze over and you're like, yes, Gus, that is what Chad must do.
Get better. Just get better. Yeah, you know what? But just in that 5 minutes we got with Chad Henne yesterday, you really get a feel for and understand why they want him around, why they want him in the locker room, why they're not afraid to expose Blaine Gabbert to Chad Henne, and why they're not afraid to expose Blake Bortles to Chad Henne. He's just the consummate professional, really handles himself and the situation better than you could probably expect. I thought it was really interesting that Gus tried to call Chad ahead of time, and Chad's like, listen, you don't need to explain it to me. I'm good. I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with where I'm at and what I'm doing and the situation. I've been in here long enough. I know, you know, I get it. And I think it's probably understated in terms of how important that is to the locker room and that meeting room.
Now, Chad's smart too. I mean, you look at the market out there. I don't think he's in great demand. He could have perhaps got a job. Maybe Houston would have rather him than Fitzpatrick this year. But he's got a chance to at least put some good tape together for whatever period of time he plays over the next 2 years. And at that point, at the very least, if you know he's still a young guy. At the very, you know, so 2 years from now, you could easily see him signing a 2 or 3 year extension to come on as the primary backup to Blake Bortles.
Chad Henne will be in this league a long time because of his attitude, his demeanor, his approach, his willingness to be the backup, his willingness to help, mentor, tutor, whatever it is. I think he's got a long career. Maybe not as a starter, maybe not, who was the guy on the tractor?
Tony, who's the guy on the tractor? Straight off the tractor. Quarterback.
Help me out.
I know, I'm drawing a blank.
Started at Kansas City.
Yes.
You guys are killing
Todd
me.
Todd.
Bowman?
Bowman. There you
Bowman.
Go.
The Todd
shocker.
Bowman. Yeah. There you go.
Yes.
Chad Henne could be Todd Bowman in 10 years, still.
Wow.
I mean, I, you know.
Chad's like, man. I've played a lot of football in this league. I'm already beyond Todd Bowman. But
well, you know what I mean. I mean, yeah.
The
I
role
just mean,
of Todd
yes,
Bowman.
Yes.
Call me in off the tractor.
Yeah,
anytime.
Call me in anytime.
You know, they Dave Caldwell indicated yesterday, and I know they had the State of the Jags press conference, and then they broke up, as they tend to do, and talked to the print media and the broadcast media and all that. And he said that, you know, we'd like to get something done eventually with Cecil Shorts in terms of an extension. For you, you look at this depth chart now, I guess, hope-wise, with Marquise Lee and Allen Robinson coming in. Initially, I think one of those guys will start right out of the gates with Cecil in two wide receiver sets, likely Marquise Lee. Ultimately, for this team's a lot better off if Cecil Shorts, in my opinion, is a borderline 2-3 wide receiver instead of your top guy, clearly. And even if Robinson turns out to be that big, you know, kind of strong possession receiver that they haven't had to complement that, Marquise Lee projects as a guy who a lot of people thought would go in the first round as maybe a future number one for you, then Cecil is your borderline 2-3. I think that's the best scenario for the Jags.
No question. I think it's really smart to try to go ahead and wrap up Cecil. You know, the guy's another consummate pro, does it all the right way. Needs to be able to stay on the field and maybe get rid of some of the dings that come at that position. But, you know, that happens when you're getting hit like that and, you know, going over the middle and whatnot. But, yeah, I think he's absolutely an asset for this franchise. And you need three. The reality is you're probably in three receiver set more than anything. The running back's going away. So, you know.
The fullback's certainly going
absolutely.
Away if it's not gone.
So
from
you
a lot
see yourself with, you know, five offensive linemen, quarterback, tight end, three receivers, and a running back. There you go. So why wouldn't they, you know, why couldn't you run 75% of your plays in three wide? You know, if you've got the quarterback in place, if you've got your, you know, you get your Andrew Luck or your Peyton Manning or whatever, those teams all run three wide most of the time. So I could see the Jags going in that direction, and so why wouldn't you try to re-sign Cecil?
That and slot corner is because of the same thing. On the other side, you're playing nickel, that same percentage just about to match up with what they're doing offensively in the National Football League right now. 6-4-1-10-10 if you want to get in. Mark, we'll go through the draft class a little bit with you. We've talked a lot about it over the last several days, but get your quick thoughts on that coming up, and get to some of those Florida guys who failed to get drafted in the National Football League, and Will Muschamp's comments on them, and in terms of what you need to really pay attention to if you're deciding to jump into the NFL draft, particularly if you're going out early as an underclassman. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long from the Associated Press. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Phone lines now open to you at 641-1010. Tweet the program at MD_1010XL, at AP Mark Long, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Lauren. Tweet them all. Take your pick. Doesn't matter. Whatever you like. We got the tweets firing up. Let's get the phone lines going next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Is this your girl right here? It had to be. Lauren's always on top of it right there.
Well, Lauren does know that I'm fond of cheerleaders, and you know this song became a very cheerleader rave.
Did not know that either.
Oh yeah, the Miami Dolphins.
I can imagine it's he's fan of cheerleaders, Tony, but I didn't know about the connection.
The Dolphins cheerleader video to this went viral pretty quick.
There you go.
See, someone send me a link.
There
please.
You go.
At MD_1010XL, I need a link for proof.
This is a lesson in pop culture today.
You need to get off the soccer field and get on the internet.
Thank you. I told Mark I feel like an old man today. I took the Red Hornets out we do our final practice of the year, parents versus kids, and we went two. 2 full hours, pretty much nonstop, and man, do I feel decrepit today. Unbelievable. And if the weather holds, I'll try to loosen it up with 18 holes of golf this afternoon. We'll see how that whole thing works out. 641-1010, if you'd like to get on board. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you live from EverBank. We'll see what happens in terms of players coming on today, as a lot of them out on the practice field right now. So we'll kind of play that by ear as we go along. Let's go to the phones for the first time today. Key, you're first up today on Jaguars Today. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Do you have the particulars of what the Jaguars had to pay Justin Blackmon as a whole and what he had to give Blackmon? And I take it off the air.
All right. I know that they put protections in the contract because he was kind enough to get the DUI before he signed his rookie deal.
Yeah, I don't know. But, I mean, I know right now he's it's unpaid. So after this, I don't know that they've gone back and tried to get any of his initial signing bonus. I know they can. I don't know if they have. But you don't have to worry about it right now because, you know, the rest of the contract right now, as long as he's suspended, is void. They're not having to pay him a dime. They're not having to pay him roster bonuses. They're not having to pay him workout incentives. They're not having to pay him, you know, anything right now, which is why he's still under contract and which is why you can't cut him. But, you know, for them, it's a no-brainer to leave him on the team right now because you're not paying him.
Typically, when you've got that situation where you can go after bonus money, if the guy is going to remain on the team, teams kind of don't go that route because they want to keep the relationship. They don't want, you know, that resentment to fester. But if he's not going to be back, I mean, fully support going after it with both barrels.
Yeah, but do you go after it? Maybe you don't go after it right now, given that you know that
he's not
in a great.
I'm saying if you reach a point though that the end has come and you know you're cutting the cord, I would. I'm sorry. I mean, look, it's a business relationship, and I get it, and all this, you know, we feel for the guy, and I don't doubt that there's some genuine feeling for him in the organization, but ultimately, you know, the reason you wrote the contract that way, and I realize Dave Caldwell didn't write the contract,
right,
but is to protect the organization against this very thing happening.
Well, and Shad Khan did pay that signing bonus. That came out of, you know, Shad's pocket, essentially. Because that was their Shad's first pick was Justin Blackmon.
That's true.
And so I could see, you know, Shad, you know, trying to get that money back. But then again, you know, Shad was very adamant yesterday that, you know, he feels for the kid and what he's going through and is, you know, just a little surprised and a little bit shocked and that he doesn't seem like Justin wants to get help. And that's
right.
What Shad was saying, that's the real tragedy here.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you're listening to this program, if you haven't written off the prospect of Justin Blackmon playing for this team, at least in 2014, both O'Halloran and Osher over the last couple of days asked them the same question. What percentage would you give out of 100 that he'll ever suit up for the Jags? And both said 5%. And I tend to agree with that because I don't think you can completely write it off until a cord is severed. But it can't be any higher than that.
I'll go higher than that.
Would you?
I would, yeah, because here's the thing. If he does get help and he does get reinstated, what do you have to lose just seeing what he's got? And then if he, you know, if he can't stay, if then it's on him. Again, it's on him. He's the one who's got to prove. He's got everything to prove, and he's got everything to lose. I mean, you're not going to have to give him some big signing bonus when he walks back in the door.
All right, so what's the number? 20%? 10%?
I'd say 25. I think a 1 in 4 chance. I'll give him a 1 in 4 chance of playing it down here.
And they call me an optimist. it's Mark Long with the Associated Press. Quickly here, while we got a minute, let's take a look at these draft picks. What was your thought when they took Bortles at 3?
Loved the pick in terms of no one saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. I had been convinced they weren't going to do quarterback in the first round. But, you know, the more I think about it, the more I beat myself up and I go, you're an idiot. Listen, you cannot bank on being in the top five every year. You can't bank on a quarterback down the road. It's clearly a need for the franchise. You've already moved on from Blaine Gabbert. You re-signed Chad Inney to a deal that, you know, essentially could be a one-year deal. So all signs pointed to the fact that they really needed a quarterback. And then you go back, and week after week, Dave Caldwell, he was in press boxes where quarterbacks were coming out. He wasn't going and watching Luchez Purifoy and Marcus Roberson play.
Good thing.
You know, he was going and watching Bortles and Mariota and the guy at UCLA.
And Bridgewater.
And Manziel. That's the guys he was going to see. So it's just like, why would he not go quarterback? And then when you start digging and you find out that he decided middle of last season that they were drafting a quarterback, that they needed, that the quarterback was the position they need, of greatest need, and they had to go ahead and pull the trigger on it. And then the fact that if they didn't take a quarterback this year and start developing him early, that now you're waiting another year. It doesn't make sense. And then waiting to the second round doesn't make sense because it's pick 39 and all those teams in front of you need quarterbacks. And I don't know. I just, the more I look at it, the more I go, gosh, we were really stupid here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you could certainly play it back in your mind that way. There's no question about it. Bruce Arians, coach of the Cardinals, said that there was one franchise quarterback in this draft and Jacksonville got him. I mean, that's one guy's opinion. But
well, Houston thought the same thing. You know, Houston thought there was one guy, and I think if Jadeveon Clowney's not in the draft, they go Bortles 1.
Right.
And I think if they probably could have gotten the right value for that number one overall pick, they trade down and try
and
to take
him.
And
yeah.
Target Bortles at whatever spot they get.
So, but,
and I still
and
think Cleveland at four was going to take Bortles.
You think they would have taken him?
I think
him
they
at
do.
Four.
Yeah.
And, Oakland, I heard or read somewhere that had, whether they would have taken him at five or not, had Bortles number one on the quarterback board.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we've gone through this for the last several days. You couldn't take the risk at that point. You look at Houston, though, in that circumstance, I understand, I guess, in hindsight, if you're really that high on Bortles and you felt like, you know, it wasn't a choice. We'll take either Bortles or Manziel and be happy. Some aspect of the organization would have been happy with Manziel, but if you traded back, if you're Houston, anywhere beyond Jacksonville, you're going to lose out on Clowney because that's what someone's probably coming up for. And then, as it would have turned out, you wouldn't have got your top choice at quarterback either. So understandable, I guess, why they held to their guns. And now they're dealing with the Andre Johnson situation over the last 24 hours or so.
Sure.
A word coming out that he's not happy with the direction that the Texan franchise is going, which should make Jaguar fans very happy. That there's some dissension in the ranks there, and I'm thinking it's tied mostly to the quarterback position because they brought in Fitzpatrick, who can't be any worse than Schaub was last year, but isn't necessarily guaranteed to be any better than he was. I think Case Keenum showed he's not the quarterback of the future in Houston. And then Tom Savage, good luck with that.
Who knows, right?
Good luck
who
with
knows?
Tom Savage in round four, I think, is where
right.
they
fourth
got
round, you know, guy who hasn't played a ton. You know, he's got the size, but, you know, who knows everything else, you know?
Very few guys. Carson Palmer did it, but very few guys are willing to walk away and really leave all that money on the table. And then
right.
you do talk about them going after your already paid bonuses. But he right now looks like he's not going to show up for anything off-season-wise, at least with the Houston Texans. So if you're a Jag fan, just sit back and watch and smile. Just grin just a little bit right now.
Yeah, but he has no leverage. I mean, he's due to make it was $11 million plus. I think his total cap number is $15 million with a – I think he just hit an escalator. It was another 3.5. So I can't imagine somebody's going to trade for a 33-year-old receiver who's in the waning years of his career that's going to cost you $15 million.
He may be in the waning years of his career. He still put up big numbers with a hodgepodge of garbage last year at quarterback. So for me, if I'm a contender, boy, I would trade for Andre Johnson if I've got the cap space to bring him in. But the only leverage he has is if he's willing to really take it the full way and walk away, because ultimately, almost 99.9% of them all blink, and they show up when the money gets real in terms of what they're able to find.
Well, because, you'd be walking away from $15 million.
Right, and, but you've made how much? 50 in your career? So are you willing, and if you've been smart about it, who couldn't use an extra $15 million? I get it.
But
641-1010, Dean, you're next up this morning on Jaguars Today. How you doing?
Yeah, good morning. I have to get your perspective on this underclassman coming out, Pierre-Foy and Roberson being the two local guys. But who's advising these guys to come out, and then those two didn't even get drafted? I guess there was about, I believe the number was like 41 guys that didn't get drafted. They came out early. I mean, these guys, maybe they don't belong in college. That's why they want to leave. But at least they can hone their skills at the highest level in collegiate football. Maybe a better chance. But I don't follow it. And then, league minimum is $400,000, so I understand, their desire for the riches. But seems like they get better advice than what they're getting as far as whether to come out or stay in another year.
Sure, and some of it is advice. Some of it, and I think it was 36
it underclassmen. It is 36 right? Of the 98 underclassmen.
Yeah, he was in the ballpark. Yeah. I mean, it's roughly 40% of them. Joe Cower talks about this all the time, that some of these guys probably have had this. You don't need to be talked into it. These guys come out. They're rivals.com, five-star, whatever, right?
Right?
They all think they're probably ready to play after their sophomore year. They got to wait another year. They're ready to go. Now, some of them get prodded. Some of them buy into the Kiper, McShay, Mayock, whoever hype of what their draft stock is. But I would imagine, Mark, there's a decent percentage of them that really stop going to class, that have no interest in going to school. And now, even if it is $400,000, even if it's league minimum, hey, that beats unlimited snacks, which NCAA just approved at that level.
Well, yeah. And listen, Will Muschamp has talked about this the last couple of days, and he said the big thing is the money. At $400,000, that's more money than these guys, have ever seen or been exposed to, or their families have been exposed to. So there's internal pressure from their families to go, and even if you're, a fifth-round draft pick, to get that money. So that's part of it. What you're talking about in terms of they see themselves as a first-round draft pick from the second they enter college is another part of it. Not liking school is a part of it. I mean, listen, school's tough. College is tough. Florida's not, handing out A's just for showing up. They're making them work. And so all those that stuff play. The practice is a tough part of it. If you're going to go through a grueling two-hour practice, 3, 4, 5 days a week, you might as well be getting paid for it. So there's a lot of it that goes into it. I'll tell you this story about Roberson to give you an idea of how much he had his mind made up. We're like 4 or 5 games into last season, and the SID is bringing us Marcus Roberson every single week. Every single time there's an availability, Marcus Roberson shows up. Well, listen. If anybody's talked to him, he's not the greatest talker in the world. There's no point in really talking to Marcus Roberson. And so I ask him, I'm like, why do you keep pushing us on Marcus Roberson? Well, Marcus Roberson's going to go pro. He knows it. He's already made up his mind. His family knows it. The coaches know it. And he's trying to do what he needs to do to better prepare himself for NFL teams and those interviews, the combine, blah, 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 blah. So it's admirable,
absolutely,
from Florida's standpoint that
and
they're helping the kid,
by the way.
And from his standpoint that he knows what he wants and he knows his weakness and he's trying to improve it. But it's also kind of ridiculous. He played 5 games last year, by the way. He was injured all season and he had already made up his mind that I'm going pro, I'm this, I'm that. And as Will Muschamp says, a big part of it is last year he was listed as a second rounder in all these early mock drafts. Luis Purifoy, I think, was 19th.
He was in McShay, right, absolutely.
Yeah, in one of the mock drafts. 30. And Tennessee offensive tackle Antonio Richardson was 16th in the same mock draft, and LSU defensive tackle Anthony Johnson was 22nd. Same exact mock draft. All three went undrafted, purifying those two.
Which I love the process. I really do. I enjoy the draft speculation. But if this doesn't show you how little they know, two mock drafts I looked up because I just Googled Marcus Roberson news to see where he was going as an undrafted free agent. Two of them within a week of the draft had him going in the second round.
Yeah, I mean, no question.
It's just amazing how wrong people can be and really not get inside the head of those GMs out there. The Purifoy off the field stuff with the bath salts get caught. Am I going to be a basically a snitch for the cops and or am I not? That could not have helped one iota.
And then there's still a warrant out for him, right? Apparently, or
is there?
I thought there was. I thought they had filed a warrant because he didn't help him out.
Oh, that was right. They filed a warrant, then, but they didn't file it. They filled out a warrant
and then didn't file it.
Didn't file it, and then they did file it, and then they rescinded it. It was really kind of weird how that whole thing went down.
But now there's like an investigation into what went on. So I mean,
right.
Who knows? They may end up still filing a warrant.
They could.
And the guy's got to come figure this thing out. So there's all kinds of issues with him. Roberson's the guy, and Muschamp said it yesterday. He said, listen, he spent two days on the phone with all these teams trying to tell them that, listen, Purifoy and Roberson deserve opportunities, and he thinks they're both going to make those teams. I'm not so sure, especially with Roberson and that team, because it's a pretty good team. He's going to the Rams. So, you know, it was shocking. I was not shocked at all that Jalen Watkins was drafted before the two of them, because I knew the Jags liked Jalen Watkins. He was more versatile, better kid, had, you know, a lot more intangibles, but had better combine, better workouts than the other. But I was still a little shocked that those guys went undrafted.
And 256 players getting selected that they didn't get picked at all at that point. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. It is Jaguars Today here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Coming up next, this date in football history with a bit of a Jaguar tie to it. We'll do that next, live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey and the Associated Press's Mark Long on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by For the Troops brand sauces. Now a few days removed from the draft, Jags owner Shad Khan is confident that his franchise is moving in the right direction.
I think we're in great shape, moving forward, a lot of work to do, but I especially love the last week, really what we're going to do on the football team. I think we've got a great draft class, and you know, I just can't wait for the season to begin.
Blake Bortles is the head of that draft class, and veteran quarterback Chad Henne plans to teach the young QB something he didn't learn his rookie year.
The biggest thing is to help along with the playbook is first and foremost. Getting defenses, my rookie year, I didn't really pay attention to that. I was just going down with the reads, going to the right places with the football, and just getting your footwork and tying that in with the plays is the biggest thing for me to coach them up on.
The Final Four in Fort Myers is the next step in the baseball playoff journey for both Clay and Creekside, and those state semifinal games will take place May 21st. Clay will take on Rockledge, while Creekside will face Mater Academy. I'm Lauren Brooks with your 1010XL 92.5 FM Pekin Orthopedic Local Sports Update, brought to you by For the Troops brand sauces. More Jaguars Today with Mike Dempsey and Mark Long comes your way next on your new home for the Jags, 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history presented by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. This date in football history, the first game, first football game that ever charged admission took place in 1874. Harvard beat whom? 3-0. Any guesses?
Yale?
That would be my first guess, and then I would go Cornell, and they'd both be wrong.
Princeton?
Tony?
Brown.
McGill.
Brown.
I'll just cut right to the chase.
McGill,
yeah. The mighty McGill
300
Maroons.
Guesses, I don't think I would have gotten that one.
No, probably not. Harvard beat McGill 3-0 in that one, and not a forward pass
contest
was thrown, I have a feeling, back then. And this date, according to the football search engine, .com, which a week ago told us that Paul Frais was born on consecutive days. So take it with a grain of salt. Happy birthday, though, to former Jacksonville Jaguar. Do you believe in miracles? Dave Wydell. The big man was born in 1965. Dave, I just blew you up as to how old you are. Happy 49th if, in fact, the footballsearchengine.com is dead on accurate. I have no idea.
Still not a great date in
It's not rich necessarily. You're saying it's not like Johnny Unitas broke the
right,
X record.
Right. Can you get me? I mean, I know we're out of season.
We get into September, we'll do a little bit better with these. But that's what I got for you right now. Also,
but they probably don't put like OTA, big moments in OTA history.
Not really. Not really. Jerry Porter injured himself in a practice. Lyle Alzado also passed away at the age of 43 back in 1992. Wearing that bandana. I guess his hair was all falling out. It was kind of weird. You know, remember? Do you remember that? Alzado, towards the end of his life, he always wore the Raider bandana. And it was almost like, you know, okay, we get you're bald, your hair's falling out, you're a dude though, you know what I mean? I mean, I get it when the women go that route, whatever. While Alzado passed away, Tony Siragusa also born on this date. So there you have it. Tony Siragusa,
the goose.
If you've ever heard the 1010XL liner that he
does,
it's hard to forget it. Tony Siragusa.
Kind of skipping right over the fact that the first pay to see football game was in the middle of May.
Who skipped over it, man? May? In May. Okay, that's a good point. May.
It's in May.
That's a good point.
What were they doing?
There was no such thing as a football season back then. It was just that's when they played it, I guess.
That's weird.
Do you ever get XFL in there?
I have yet to get an XFL.
He hate me
made his debut or something. That would be nice.
I don't know.
We gotta look that
he hate me's real name
the
is.
First collarbone snapped on the opening ball flip or whatever they called it.
Give two trivia questions for the XFL. He hate me's real name is.
Well, his cousin played here or at Florida. Where did
his name is Rod Smart.
Rod Smart.
And the only MVP of the XFL was whom?
I know this one, but I'm letting Mark try.
I got nothing.
Tommy Maddox.
Maddox. Wow. Touchdown, Tommy. Is who that was.
I covered He Hate Me's nephew or cousin or something, somewhere along the line. I don't know if it was here.
Did you remember his
or
name?
Or was it Florida? No, I don't. I don't. Somebody can help me out with that.
All right. If you know He Hate Me's cousin's name.
Or nephew. It might be nephew.
Some relative.
I definitely covered a relative of He Hate Me.
If you can come up with that name, you'll have nothing
Rod's
but our undying gratitude.
I'm looking it up.
This date in football history. Go ahead.
I currently have Olivia Munn on my computer.
Oh, my goodness. What? She's dating Aaron Rodgers?
Aaron Rodgers.
So I'm going from Olivia Munn to...
She's worth a Google, all we've decided.
I'm going from Olivia Munn to He Hate Me.
This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. They're located on Gate Parkway. Whether you need cosmetic work done or you're in the market for a family dentist, you can call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225, a certified Invisalign provider, and you get 10% off as a first-time customer on your initial visit. In the meantime, visit jamesjmccall.com and get a complete list of comprehensive care services. Fists in the air, you have already found it. Who is it?
I cannot believe that I forgot it. Chris Rainey's older brother was Rod Smart.
Really?
Absolutely.
How about that?
They had different fathers, but same mother.
Better professional career. I'm going to go with He Hate Me at this point in time, right?
Well, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that didn't go so well.
I think Bobby Rainey has a better professional career than Chris Rainey.
Relation?
None.
None?
Nope.
Munn? Did you say Munn? Easy there.
You got that on the brain.
I do now. Well, I do now. Yes, I absolutely do. 641-1010 if you want to jump on board. Jags, we're told, are still on the practice field. Mark is very happy, though, to find out that tomorrow's co-host is David Garrard, and we're tentatively hoping to get Blake Bortles on in the 11 o'clock hour tomorrow. And then Ryan Robinson of the Jaguars' outstanding crack PR staff just popped his head in and said, would you guys want Dave Caldwell tomorrow as well? So Mark's feeling a little underappreciated today, I think.
Clearly, Blake Bortles, Dave Caldwell, and Gus Bradley, who, by the way,
was supposed to be today.
You told me he was going to be today, and he came in yesterday.
Osher's gravitational
pull. They're all ducking me.
Brought him in.
They're all afraid of me.
That may be
Garrard, too.
The hard-hitting question from the AP.
Oh, yeah. Olivia Munn. That's where I'm bringing it.
And you got blamed in part for misreporting who is now occupying Justin Blackman's old locker.
Not at all my fault.
Not at all your fault.
But the
point being, though, the whole thing, the whole mini firestorm of that, people are like, oh, they gave away his locker. There are 90 lockers. They have 90 guys right now. It's one thing if it's like during the season and you're suspended, they don't have to give away your locker. There's limited space.
There is, but if you really thought he was going to be a factor, maybe this year at least, you'd keep his locker. They can bring in temporary lockers. They do it all the time for the tryout guys, for the undrafted free agents.
Here you go, Blake. Here's a... Here's a Foot Locker.
Not Blake. Not necessarily Blake.
But wasn't that what it was reported at first? Was it
that it was reported that that Blake had taken
Stephen Morris.
Yeah, that Blake had taken Justin's locker. There you have it. There's a lot of jokes, by the way, in there, but I won't go there.
No.
Maybe during the break.
No, we'll get back. No, the break is for Olivia Munn. All right, let's get our priorities in order. All right, we talked about your opinion on Bortles a little bit. They followed that up in the second round. Marquise Lee. Keep it in mind, Marquise Lee, after his sophomore year, was regarded as maybe a top 10 pick, maybe the best wide receiver who would be eligible to come out the following year. And then injuries certainly slowed him down. He had some drops. Now, spotty quarterback play factored into that as well. But I do think the fact that he played through injury was something that the Jags appreciated and factored into. And still, I mean, right up till the day of the draft, widespread speculation that Marquise Lee was going in the first round. And for a long time, seen as possibly the third or fourth wide receiver off the board in this draft.
Yeah, no question. And you talk to the Jags and you dig a little bit and you find out that they really had Allen Robinson targeted for that second round pick.
Right there.
Right there. And they were surprised to see Marquise Lee fall and be available. So, you know, Dave started working it, whatever, looking at the board, and they said, listen, we're going to take Marquise Lee here, but hold on. We think we're going to be able to get both of them. We think we got an option here to trade back into the bottom of the second round and get Allen Robinson. Sure enough, they were able to do it. You know, just real quick side note, the thing that amazes me after the draft, and maybe I'm crazy or drinking the Kool-Aid or whatever, but when you start talking to people, they really target certain guys at certain positions. Like, they had the cornerback, Aaron Colvin, from Oklahoma. They had him targeted for that with that 114th pick in the fourth round. Like, they had that planned weeks in advance. They had, you know, they have Brandon Linder, the guard. They have him, you know, they think they're going to get him in the third round. It's just kind of the way you know, when you're doing your work and you're doing your preparation, it's not a matter of just drafting the best available player sitting there on your board when the draft goes. It is real, you know, real planning ahead and projecting and really slotting guys to where you think you're going to get them, or a group of guys anyway.
Gus told us yesterday, would have been happy to tell you today as well, I'm sure. but that a lot of times, and he's so funny, he's so animated when he talks, but he goes, yo, we got like three guys there, and then maybe the number one guy goes, and then number two, and you got to be happy, but, you know, so they do target guys, but I think they target a cluster of guys, you know, and say, okay, here's who we reasonably can expect. This is our top guy on our wish list, and we'll see how it falls. I think, and a lot of people think, that the Linder move, they probably had several interior linemen that they liked, and when they were down to one, that's when they pounced and made
their
move.
Had to go.
Who was the guy? Trey. Who was it? Trey Thomas. Who was the guy who went right before him? Not Trey Thomas. But it was Trey somebody. Trai from LSU. I want to say a guard went to Carolina. Can't think of his last name at the minute.
I don't know.
Pick right before Linder, and I think caused him to pounce a little bit there. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's get John up next here on Jaguars today. Good morning, John.
Hey. Good morning. First thing I want to say is, you guys really do, this is a great show, man. It's very interesting, and it really gives you a lot of insight into the Jaguars. And I want to congratulate y'all for getting everybody that you've gotten on the show so far. It's been fantastic.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
I called before and was talking about one day about getting Watson and Robinson as wide receivers 1-2. And when the draft hit, I was listening to the first round. When they hit Bortles, I went, oh, man, we're going to wait a year to see this guy. And I was like, please, Lord, let us get some help for him. And when they did Lee Robinson and then Linder, I went, oh, thank you, God. My prayers were answered. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say, guys.
All right, appreciate the comments, John. And, you know, hindsight's perfect. I don't like the hindsight because I don't want – when people were calling up Friday saying, well, look how it could have turned out. You could have had Teddy Bridgewater for a small bump up into the first round. You could have, well, you could have had a lot of things. You don't know how it's going to go. And also, your evaluation of him may be nowhere close to Blake Bortles. So to say afterwards, well, it all worked out is great. And it did. In that standpoint, they got a couple of guys that they liked. But if you look at it and said, okay, you could have had Sammy Watkins. Let's say you come back, and in this case, you could have had Marquise Lee with him. And then what quarterback would you be pairing with him if you were, even if you're trading up, maybe Garoppolo?
Derek Carr.
Right. But if you couldn't have Carr and Lee, right, because Carr was off the board. So let's say you went Watkins and you stood there and you took Sammy Watkins and then you took Mark Easley.
Could you have traded up in the second and gotten one of those guys?
I mean, you could have, but now you're giving up more.
You could have gotten Watkins, Carr, and Robinson.
You could have probably done that, but it would have cost you more picks. And how do you feel about Carr? Would be the question. Right. You know, so if you like Bortles that much more than Carr, which clearly I think they did.
Listen, and if Bortles is your franchise guy and you're convinced and your convictions say he's your guy, then you go. You do whatever you got to do to go draft him. And if he turns out to be, you know, a franchise quarterback, then you give up however many number one picks for him. It doesn't matter.
Thank you, Matt Goudreau, by the way, at Jagsman04 on Twitter. Trey Turner, guard from LSU, was the guy that I could not think of. Metro Rooter Wednesday for all-size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial. They do septic systems. They do restaurant grease trap service. You name it, you'll be amazed at what they do, and they've done it for over 3.5 decades here on the First Coast. Go to MetroRooter.com to get all the details. Same-day service, Saturday and Sunday included. The right people, the right equipment. Metro Rooter, serving Jacksonville since 1978. For all your plumbing needs, call 695-1911, a longtime sponsor of all of my programs here on 1010XL. Happy to have them as our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. With Mark Long, I'm Mike Dempsey. Back with more of your calls at 641-1010. Continue to look through this Jaguar draft class with Mark on Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Well, first of all, our scouting staff and Dave did a great job that we were aggressive. I mean, we draft Marquise in the second round, and then we trade up and get Allen Robinson. But one thing that stood out to me was just how aggressive we were. But I felt like, you know, we deepened the quality of depth now.
Gus Bradley yesterday was rubbing it in for Mark Long on Jaguars today with the senior writer John Osher. Those were two. I'm telling you, I counted. He said it 5 times, used the word aggressive, and he's so funny, man. He just gets his body language. We got to get the webcam going on the show, but
what's that?
It's soon. I'm told it's on its way. So. Coming soon.
It's soon.
To a Jaguars Today near you.
I can tell you it's soon. I've talked to the person who will be installing said camera, and it's going to be sooner rather than later.
Technology Tony.
You guys better hope it's not in HD. You have faces for radio.
Are we still dressed like radio personalities in here?
It is bad enough that just the photos we tweet out of when we have guests in the studio, Tad Dickman will get me from my bad side, which is, you know, any side.
You have 4 bad sides.
I unfortunately have 4 bad sides. Have you seen the commercial where the professor is teaching the class and he's got his face shaved into the back of his hair?
No.
I'm going to try that one of these days. You know, because it's so short, I'll just cut it all off the next day. By the way, I'm way overdue for a little trimming right now.
Listen, we got to get this. We got to get a schedule up. We gotta get.
You want to be in charge, and you tell us what we need in here. We gotta get Eugene Monroe out of here. Don't we have to? What's the word on Eugene Monroe's poster? Aggressive.
That's what it says. Yeah, I mean, you guys.
Fred can stay. Brunell can stay.
Sure.
Fortunato can stay. Jackson DeVille can stay.
He needs to go down the hall somewhere.
Get out of here.
Who is this up here?
You're going to anger the cat.
You see the picture they used in the TU today of Jackson in London with the cheerleaders? You'd like that one better.
Of course.
Right. So maybe we just
do a
little
decorating. Do we have is the London calendar somewhere?
Right over there.
That's the London calendar?
Yeah, that's the London calendar.
Jessica
is your May Roar cheerleader
of
choice. Maybe we'll do something. We'll let Jaguars Today fans out there take photos of themselves in their Jaguars Today gear that they may win on the program, for instance, with the Tom Bush fan feedback question of the day, which today asks you, year in, what do you make of the London experience for the Jaguars, good or bad? How do you feel about it? And we award a T-shirt every day. Maybe we'll get some pictures of rowdy Jags fans in their gear, Tony, and we will decorate the studio walls with that.
So sounds good.
You can feel like you're embedded in the organization. It's like me when I go to TPC. That's the worst thing about this show and focusing on football all during TPC week, Players Championship week. I didn't get to tell my hole-in-one story at all last week, but I got my name up in the clubhouse, and that's what we can do for people here. They can put their photos
up. You had a hole-in-one?
A number 8.
Where?
You want to hear?
We can't
TBC?
Talk about this. This is Jaguars.
This would be at the player at the stadium course.
When? What year was this?
I did 2009.
It was right after the renovation.
Wow. Right after the redesign.
That why we kept the 09 media guides out here.
That's exactly in tribute to me.
Okay.
I was referenced in all the NFL media guides.
Your name's in the clubhouse. Hole in one on eight.
Yeah. It was misspelled for about a year. They dropped the last E in Dempsey, but that's okay. I appreciate the effort. It's all good.
And congratulations.
It just goes to show you that you don't have to be very good at golf to necessarily get a hole in one.
Yeah, exactly.
I shot 119 that day.
Who cares?
So
you know,
with a one. So there you have it.
You have the card?
I do. I have the card at the house. My wife got me a little,
shadow box
trophy kind of thing with the. It's got all the details on the bottom. Got the ball. It was a precept. So. There you have it.
Yeah, I did not. Had not heard that.
Now
story.
You know. You're like the only guy in Jacksonville who hasn't heard that.
Apparently.
Story. People are like, "Shut up! Don't
phone lines.
Don't ask for
erupting.
Any more details." Okay, six iron. Just cut that thing.
Six
in
Six iron for how far?
If you
tell me 150, I'm gonna be or 140, I'm gonna be disappointed.
It's more than 140.
Okay, yeah, good.
But not much. Okay.
144.
145. It wasn't much more than 140. Let's just leave it at that. Hey, I'm not
six
a long
iron from 141.
You're
right.
Mr.
You're
shoot,
a big
you're
dude.
You're Mr. Break 100 at Augusta.
You're a big guy. You should be hitting a little wedge into 140.
So if that's right.
With backspin.
Just swing hard.
You're
going
to be so disappointed this afternoon,
right.
Mark.
I hope you come with no expectations if the weather holds. Trust me. I'm expecting you to shoot like 64 after you.
Where are we playing?
Southampton.
Oh, yeah. No, I'll shoot in the 80s out there. That's Ryan Robinson's course, by the way.
It is Ryan Robinson's course. Jaguar PR man extraordinaire. A couple more thoughts on the draft class here with Mark Long of the Associated Press. We talked about Colvin making the move for him, making the move for Linder as well. Chris Smith was an interesting guy. Got to meet him for the first time yesterday. And it really strikes me that of all the rookies that I've met this year, they really are these football junkie types, you know, seemingly, you know, they talk about clean prospects, high character, eat, sleep, drink football, and this guy is just, I mean, wait till you get a chance to meet him, and we hope we can introduce him to you sometime in the next week or so, but he seems like a real piece of work in that regard, too.
Yeah, and, if you've heard me on the radio ever, you've always heard me rip on Derek Cox. Derek Cox was the guy complete opposite of that. He did not sleep, eat, drink football. He didn't watch football when he was home, didn't play video game football, didn't really care about football. He enjoyed, you know.
It was a means to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. He was really good at it, and he did it, and maybe surprisingly good at it. And, you know, and it was paying the bills, so, you know, he did it. But he had all these other things that he was interested in. And for me, I never really could get it. It didn't make any sense, because I want the guy who, you know, football is life, and he has a hard time living without it. And so, that's what Gus wants. Gus can sit in a room and determine how much these guys like football. Dave Caldwell can sit in a room and determine how much these guys football. I'm not so sure Gene Smith had the personality skills to sit in a room and figure out whether these guys really loved football.
Which is interesting, because he was all about the character issue, but it wasn't necessarily the football character. You
absolutely.
Know what I mean?
But I get what they want here. And, you know, that when you're all about football, you're usually really competitive, and you're going to sell out to do whatever, you know, they're asking you to do. And it makes for a good locker room. It makes for a lot of competition on the field.
A pretty productive guy, played in the SEC, obviously. And all nine picks came from BCS conferences this year. And projects maybe down the road as kind of your specialty Leo-type pass rusher. I found it interesting. Somebody asked me to bring this up, and I had read this. Alfie Crow on Big Cat Country had projected his way, way too early 53-man roster, right? And, I mean, look, people laugh. But that's kind of what you're expected to do to some degree. Right?
Yeah, Ryan O'Halloran also had tweeted about the same thing, about he was going to do his 53-man, but he thought he'd wait till after he at least saw him take one snap
right.
And pads.
But that's just the way.
In a helmet. Yeah.
And I get it. It's not for everybody. I mean, the 2015 mock drafts are out, too.
Sure,
so
sure.
It's just, it's part of the business, and you can take it for what it's worth. But, and he even admitted himself, it is crazy early to project this, but here's my stab at it. And it did not include Andre Branch on the roster, which that, to me, was incredibly surprising. I mean, you've got a guy who clearly had enough talent, was considered a second-round type pick in that top 40 range. That's where he was selected. And then finally last year, over the second half of the season, I thought he started to show some promise. I'd be really surprised at this point if Andre Branch was not on this football team.
I would be stunned, given, especially when you look at what they've got at defensive end. I mean, they draft Chris Smith, but he's in the fifth round. And then they've got three other guys who are all over 30 years old. When you look at Red Bryant, Jason Babin, and Chris Clemens, all over 30. So, you know, although those guys might help you, they're certainly not long-term fixes, long-term options. So from that standpoint, I think they're going to be committed to Andre Branch at least through this season, give him a chance. Gus says he's doing all the right things. Gus Bradley told us last week that, you know, late last year, opposing coaches were going, listen, I was watching tape. And number 90 was flashing, is absolutely flashing with how hard he was playing on every down and some of the things he was doing. So if that says anything, Gus's argument is, you know, not only are the coaches noticing it, but other coaches are noticing it too.
Yeah. Telvin Smith, another draft pick we haven't touched on yet. He had the reported failed test and reportedly was very upfront with the team, said, hey, you know what, dumb thing. Fifth round pick, the risk is certainly reduced. He's a playmaker. Now, if he were 25 pounds, naturally 25 pounds heavier, second round pick.
No
is,
question.
Is what you're looking
I
at.
I loved him at Florida State, and I loved him even more when I talked to him last week. He's the all pro team of talkers, and he's a, you know, great locker room guy. Great. You think that stuff does translate into the locker room and onto the field, how well they communicate. And he's a guy who's going to be absolute talker. And if his play comes close to backing up his mouth, you know, they're in great shape.
Yeah, and it's funny because you've got a guy in Dakota Watson who's going to be moving forward. He wants to rush the passer, and that's, I think, what they are attracted to, his potential to do that. Whereas Telvin Smith might be the guy who's going the other direction, covering tight ends, and that they remarked on that when they selected him. Dave Caldwell said that is one of the things that this guy has the ability, you know, at 220 to 230 pounds, he's got that maneuverability and then got that speed. He can still hit you, but he really does a great job. And let's be frank, the team hasn't had a guy like that in a long time.
Yeah, and you're going to see some tweaks on the defensive side of the football this year. They're going to play more of an under front with what they call now an auto position, which is what Dakota Watson is going to fill. And it's really going to look to the naked eye, to those, you know, non-football junkies, it's an under front, but it's going to look like a little bit like a 5-2 bear front, where Dakota Watson's going to be lined up, you know, just maybe a step or two off standing off the line of scrimmage, and he can either blitz or buzz backwards from there. And so it'll be interesting, but they've got, you know, big plans for Dakota Watson and anybody else they draft to be kind of that hybrid, not so much the Leo, but maybe the other side, the hybrid, you know, linebacker spot.
And they've collected now several of those Florida State linebackers with Geno Hayes as well, and the key with all of them is they can run. And so they're going out clearly.
When they tried to
speed.
Get one more and just fell short on
Christian
him.
Jones.
Christian Jones in free agent, in undrafted free agency.
Why do you think? Did you think that he looked at the opportunity that he just had a better chance to get on the field there? I think that's got to be the first thing you look at it when you're an undrafted free agent. Where do I have the best chance of sticking? And even, you know, St. Louis went as far as to say, we drafted Michael Sam, because if you don't draft the guy at that position, when you've got Robert Quinn and Chris Long, nobody's going to want to sign with you in undrafted free agency. Right. You're almost forced to spend a draft pick to bring in a guy you think might be able to help the pass rush.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know for sure without talking to Christian Jones, but I heard some rumblings that maybe Christian Jones and Telvin Smith weren't exactly BFFs, and that may have played a factor.
That's interesting. That is interesting. Luke Bowanko is
by the way, I just dropped BFF on you.
I know you did. I chose to overlook it for your sake. Luke Bowanko is, I think, for people who realize the connection, is already a mini folk hero, because that's who they got for that other guy who they traded to San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
So
that question, by the way, I asked this question in one of the post-draft news conferences that day, and that question went over like a lead balloon. I mean, that was not a... you know, I thought I was being kind of clever and smart alecky, which I tend to do. But
you may have been.
I absolutely was, and I got some good laughs from my media friends, but it did not go over well with the the Jags brass.
I don't think they want to. They don't want to hamstring him with that. That you are the new. I mean, yeah, right. You're the guy that Gene Smith gave a 16th and a 41st overall pick to right. get. Basically,
they should just give him his number, make him number 11, put him over there in his locker, and move on.
Good luck to you, Luke, in that regard. And then Storm Johnson finally in the 7th round, and who's a guy we did a prediction contest pick. A guy that will be drafted by the Jags after round 2, and he was cited by several of our listeners as being a guy and who could come in here. And look, people were asking me all throughout the draft on Twitter, are they going to take this running back here? Will they draft one here? I was like, no. If they're going to take one, wait, because guys like this fall into your lap. It's shown year after year now, and really over the last several, becoming increasingly prevalent to find guys who can really help you if need be late in the draft, 6th, 7th round at the running back position.
Well, and again, you signed Toby Gerhart in free agency. You drafted in the 5th round. You drafted Denard Robinson last year, and from all accounts, you know, he's making progress, making strides in the right direction. We'll see if his hands are still an issue. You know, next month, I guess, or a couple of weeks, we'll see whether, you know, how he's doing that standpoint. But they've got some guys there, so it wasn't like they were going to spend a mid or high round pick on a running back. And, you know, Storm Johnson's a perfect fit for them and, you know, gives them a guy who can catch the ball out of the backfield and a guy they can maybe sit around and develop.
Yeah, and I think plus the obvious connection playing with Blake Bortles. People feel like, I mean, they know each other's games and they relied on each other and all that stuff. So, as popular as any 7th round running back could have been at that point
right.
for the Jags. All right, we'll take a final timeout here. When we come back, we'll take a look at the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight, asking you today, how do you feel a year into the London experiment? How are things going from your viewpoint for the Jacksonville Jaguars, good or bad? We'll read through some of the examples, and we'll pick a winner to award one of those brand-new Jaguar Today T-shirts. Mike Dempsey, Mark Long, Fat Tony here with you on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue on Metro Rooter Wednesday here on Jaguars Today. In a moment, we'll go to the Tom Bush Fan Feedback Spotlight. Reminder, tomorrow, Mark Long's going to hang out and watch David Garrard and I co-host. That's David Caldwell. If everything works out, we will hopefully get David Caldwell sitting down with us in the first hour of the show. Blake Bortles in hour number 2. So we'll see how it all goes. It's all dependent on their schedule. Today, for instance, the chair has been empty.
I've been staring at a black, empty leather chair.
I think they're afraid of you. I think you've got the scoop on the Christian Jones, Delvin Smith. We're not BFFs, as you put it. And they realize this guy is dangerous because everybody else is talking about, you know, something they can read in somebody's mock draft, and you've got real intel.
I'm going to set up my own interviews next time I'm in.
That would be great.
Probably be Jessica.
Yeah. You,
Miss May.
Blaylock or Miss May?
Miss May.
Okay. Miss May. Blaylock's welcome to stop
you
by.
Know,
you know, that was. You notice I had a pause there. I had to think about it for
he
a second.
He did think about it. But he talks to Blaylock all the time. So I think that factored into the equation.
See her all the time.
Don't help him out.
If you want to bring in Miss May, come in for 2 days next week. we'll work that out. All right. Fat Tony here in the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships Fan Feedback Spotlight. We asked Jag fans today, a year into it, how do you feel about the London experiment? Give us a sample of what the feedback has been.
Sure. Believe it or not, it seems like most of the people in this city, at least fans of the team, are buying the rationale of the team to this.
Isn't it crazy? I mean, because now maybe it's just that, you know, certain people are more predisposed to reply to it anyway. And, you know, this is a show that there's been a lot of positivity, certainly, about the Jags in the last several weeks. But, man, when it first came out, there were, I would say 70-30 against.
Easily.
I think, you know, and because there were people that saw, okay, this could really help us. Maybe it was 80-20, you're right. But there was a lot of negative thoughts and a lot of conspiracy going on out there. Today, you would think that it's the greatest thing since sliced bread.
No doubt about it. Some of the responses that we got at FBT Jax responded, more revenue, more opportunity for the city, and a secure franchise in Jax? Question mark. What's not to like? Question mark. Hashtag Jaguars Today.
Like it.
Included the hashtag
Ooh,
in there.
Oh, I forgot. Okay, all right.
Mike, for now, it's fine and maybe necessary, but I sure hope Khan can wait 2 years before making a decision on whether to renew that contract. From Tim, we got absolutely builds the fan base, gives exposure to Jackson, increases revenue, plus an excuse for an awesome vacation. Hashtag Jaguars today. And finally, from Cam, it doesn't hurt to grow the fan base, and cash flow certainly helps. Just don't make it more than one game a year.
And Cam Mosley, at CameronM1188 on Twitter, was the one I had selected, and I'm going to stick with my selection here.
Okay.
But he did not use the hashtag Jaguars Day, as tough sometimes when you've got a 140-character limit. So you are handicapped by that to some degree. But I think after this week, it could be a prerequisite to winning the T-shirt, but Cam Mosley will be our winner today. I like that. It doesn't hurt to grow the fan base. Cash flow certainly helps. Just take enough already. One is plenty. And we said at the beginning of the show, for people who weren't tuned in, Mark, it may be, you know, I'm not trying to put it in dramatic terms, but it may be a decision that we look back on 10 years from now, and instead of threatening the existence of football in Jacksonville, save the existence of football in Jacksonville.
Yeah, I don't see any scenario in which it doesn't work that way. I think right now that's the way it is working. It worked out of year one. I think it's got a chance to keep continue going up for the franchise in terms of making money over there. And I don't think there's any plans. I know there aren't any plans, but I don't think there's any thought of playing more than one game over there right now. I do think one of the tweets talked about, you know, don't make the decision too far down the road. I do think that, you know, Shad Khan indicated yesterday that he thinks it'll come up for renewal next year. And so, you know, he said it's the NFL's decision whether to offer Jacksonville.
Assuming they offer, you think that...
I think it's a slam dunk that you take it right now. Even if they say, listen, if you got to decide in 2015, this time next year, that you're going to sign on for another 2 years or another 4 years... You know, here's the thing. Here's what we know. You can get out of that contract. So go ahead and do it. And if things change locally to where, you know, you don't have a big enough stadium and you got a waiting list for tickets and the Jags are 14-2 and going to the AFC title game every year and they do, and you want that back, you want that home game back, then you break the contract because guess what? St. Louis is broken.
What happened with St. Louis breaking that? I mean, what were the repercussions? I can't recall what they...
I think their argument was they were trying to work out a stadium deal and that they felt like it hurt them trying to negotiate a stadium deal in St. Louis.
Was the city of St. Louis going to sue them for, like, breaking the lease? It may have been a case like that where they were going to get sued over breaking the lease. But, I mean, as far as the NFL... You know, they agreed to do it, and then they backed out. I don't know if there were any repercussions.
I don't think there were.
So like you're saying, you're almost holding your place, and you could always step back away from that, or at least, you know, argue to step back away from that.
Well, most people thought the repercussions would be that the NFL would make the Rams go over there and play anyway, and they didn't.
Right.
Like I don't think the Rams are on the schedule this year, right?
But you had the Jags, so... ready and willing to step up and fill that void and sign on for a...
And as far as we know, the only team willing to step up and sign on for a four-year commitment.
And that's the thing, even though, you know, you talk about if you're selling out, if you're doing all these things, if you're still outpacing revenue-wise the average of what you're making here, and you've worked for 4 or 6 years to build that following and keep that flow going, I mean, for the foreseeable future. I think even if you are selling out at home and you are a contender, and if it's not hurting the product on the field, in other words, as Gene Fournette argued today, you got to balance whether or not you're taking away some of your home field advantage, and as you get closer to playoff contention, that one game could mean the difference. If you feel like that's not hurting you, you know, keep it going.
And yeah, no question.
I loved watching all that stuff. We talked about this a little bit earlier as well. You know, the artist renderings last year went up about the scoreboards, and now the construction is going on. As someone tweeted, the concept to the construction. We get it. You're mixing them in.
I like it.
But
I used that in my story yesterday.
It
construction.
Was pretty good. Yeah. We saw the, you know, we've seen artist renderings of temporary covers over the stadium. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility what you can do with that. Certainly, it looks to me more than just speculative of what they're going to do in the north end zone or the end zones as a whole in terms of the club seats and the cabanas and all these things. I think if you see it right now up on the screen with the Jags, you more likely than not, you can expect it coming down the line.
Yeah, and I mean, Shad said, you know, the idea here is to get a bunch of ideas, as many ideas as people can throw at you, and then come up with two or three that can become reality. And they wouldn't have shown him in his 50-plus page PowerPoint presentation yesterday and Mark Lamping's presentation, which, again, I thought was very well done. But you don't show them in that presentation if you don't think that they can become reality. So I think all the ones that they talked about, whether it be, you know, a enclosed roof or some sort of roof, what were the other ones? The practice facility over by the shipyards.
Yeah.
And the club seats, the difference in the club seats, the way they
the
turn
all glass
those.
And all
they
that,
all
yeah.
turn that into, you know, cabana type style. Well, not cabana, but tabletop style. All that stuff is absolutely doable, and I would not be at all stunned to see them happen. Like, here's the thing that I don't know. We talked about this earlier or touched on, but what you do, and I think what Mark Lamping's doing is you take away all the excuses. You give them every opportunity and every reason to go to the games and not have any excuse. Oh, it's too hot. Well, guess what? It's shaded. Oh, yeah, you know, they don't have good enough food. Well, we've upgraded all the food. Tickets too expensive. Well, it's the lowest ticket in the NFL. You know, you take away all the excuses possible, including the team, the product on the field. You improve the product on the field. Take away all the excuses and then see where you're at. And if you've got an amazing stadium with amazing Wi-Fi, with, you know, red zone possibly showing up on the scoreboard, the biggest scoreboards in there, you know, all the excuses are gone to not go. And then you get the good evaluation of how sustainable is this city for an NFL market.
I find it hard to believe that if you have all that going, that you're not going to have the viability. Because you look at, and I realize it was new in the 90s, but you look at the ticket sales, and I know they were asking for a three-year commitment, but winning coincided with the dawn of the franchise, and it was a crazy, raucous atmosphere, you know, standing room only kind of thing. And I think you have all that. There is no excuse. Right. If that, and I do think the Jag fans would deliver in a big way on that. In fact, Shad Khan has been very careful and pointed in pointing out that they've already delivered based on what they've been, based on the product they've had on the field, that they've delivered above and beyond their expectation up to this point. So I don't think there's any reason to think that wouldn't continue.
Winning is the key, and no one disputes that, but winning is not the only thing. A lot of people go out there and they have this misconception that, that winning will fill the stadium. Well, no, that's not the case. It didn't happen in 2005. It didn't happen in 2007. I was here for both of those years, and they blacked out games when they were winning. They didn't fill the stadium when they were winning. Winning, it's not about winning anymore. We're spoiled fans, HD television, you know, fantasy football, all that stuff absolutely factors. We are unbelievably spoiled by sitting at home in our living room. And it takes more than just winning to get people in the seats.
But in those instances, too, you can't have years of mediocrity and then occasionally pop up and win.
And expect them to come back
and
expect, in droves.
Right. So this is why they're talking about sustainability and building it. You know, let's not just make a splash and try to go 9-7 one year. Let's see if we can do this and have fans be able to look and say, wow, based on this roster, barring injuries, we're going to be able to be at least competitive and in the mix for the next 5 or 6 years, or whatever the case. So
yeah,
it's
and
all
then,
part of it.
Yeah, and they'll show up. If that's the case, there's no question they'll show up. It just keeps building and building and building, and then, you know.
You'll be out at the minicamp, rookie minicamp, I would imagine.
Absolutely, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. What are you doing on the What do you do on the Gator front this time of year? Anything? Kind of quiet.
Kind of quiet. We had a. It is interesting. I don't know if you know this, but the Gators do this. They do a coaching clinic where they sit down. They bring in the media, and they bring in every single coach, and they just talk for a half hour. So I had that on Monday, which was like a 4-hour deal. But it's interesting.
All right. Well, if it's happening in Gainesville, we'll certainly hear what the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mark Long is covering it for the Associated Press, scaring away all the guests here. Nobody wants to be in the crosshairs of Mark Long from the AP.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, David Garrard, co-host, and hopeful to get Blake Bortles and Dave Caldwell to stop by. We'll see what tomorrow brings.
Again, so, bring in my own guests next time.
Yes, well, bring. I don't know. You know, bring something pop culture-y. Bring something we wouldn't know. You bring that every week, which is nice. So you've got that going for you. Back to Olivia Munn here on the break. For Mark Long, for Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato, for Lauren Brooks, back at 1010XL World Headquarters, Wednesdays, presented by our friends at Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs, residential, commercial, industrial. Call 695-1911 for Metro Rooter. Thanks again to the Tom Bush family of dealerships for the fan feedback spotlight today. Joe C., Ryan the Hacker, Green T-Wade, coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.